What reception does the repenting sinner experience when he turns to God? Like the prodigal son returned home to the love and embrace of his father, so the sinner turns to God to find God's grace overflowing toward him in forgiveness and peace. Someone has wisely said that nature is the braille upon which God writes his message for blind humanity. And so from the farmlands of our nation, there comes a picture which beautifully illustrates a great spiritual truth. For driving through certain farming regions, it's not at all unusual to see a great caterpillar tractor moving across a field, drawing behind it plows which dig deep into the ground and turn the soil. Sometimes the deep plowing reaches down to 36 inches below the surface to draw up the subsoil to mix with the topsoil. Now the farmers explain that such deep plowing is necessary to give vitality and increase productivity to the land and to improve the harvest of the crops. Well, just so, it seems to me, must the spiritual plow of holy repentance be driven deep in the soil of human hearts if there is to be vitality in religion. True repentance will result in people making commitments to Christ rather than decisions concerning religion. God honors the tears of repentance. In fact, it's the only kind of holy water that interests Him. Repentance is imperative. And yet, repentance is a bitter pill for a sin-sick generation. It is essential, nonetheless, to its spiritual health. The response God desires from the proclamation of the Christian gospel is summarized in the biblical statement, repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Only by the way of repentance and faith can a person meet God in a redemptive experience. Only by repentance and faith can spiritual health and strength be restored to the fainting spirit of man. Many people do not like to expose themselves to a religion which requires repentance, and yet we must preach repentance because the kingdom of God is at hand. Just what is repentance in the Bible sense of the term? Well, any attempt at definition leads to immediate discovery of a twofold usage of the concept in the Bible. Its basic idea is to turn, to change, to turn back, to turn away from, or to turn toward. Always the idea is positively expressed that to repent means to change directions. It is evident, therefore, that repent can be applied to the actions of God or of man. Now, many times the Old Testament scriptures refer to God repenting, but God does not repent in that He turns from an evil course. In that sense, the Bible declares that God is not a man that He should repent. But God repents in that He uses a different course in dealing with His people. The basic idea of repentance is to change. Therefore, it may be applied to both God and man. Repentance is applied to man in another and larger sense. For repentance commonly means a radical change in man's attitude toward God and sin. It implies a conscious moral separation and a personal decision to forsake sin and to enter into fellowship with God. Its common meaning in both Old Testament and New Testament is to indicate the sinner's return to God, of which a turning from sin is an inseparable result. Now take care that you do not confuse repentance with penitence. They are not the same. Penitence suggests pain, grief, distress, rather than change of thought and purpose. The primary New Testament idea in repentance is not one's grief over sin, but rather the abandonment of sin. The Bible issues a call for sinners to abandon sin, not for a call for them to do penance. Repentance is a vital experience. He who turns from sin to God becomes a new person. He enters into a new relationship with God by faith. The new relationship expresses itself in different conduct. So true repentance will produce good fruits appropriate to one's new spiritual life. Both Old Testament and New Testament is replete with calls to repentance. In the Hebrew language of the Old Testament, the term for repent is used no less than 680 times. In the Greek language of the New Testament, the terms for repent are used no less than 61 times. So let us review some of the primary calls to repentance which are recorded in the New Testament scriptures. Repentance was the message of John the Baptist. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Repentance was the theme of Jesus' early preaching. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Repentance was the message of the earliest witnesses of Jesus. The 12, which Jesus sent out two by two, were told what their message should be, and they went out and preached that men should repent. Repentance is the message which Jesus commanded should be carried into every nation, everywhere. He decreed that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Repentance was the message preached by all the apostles, according to the record of the book of Acts. For on the day of Pentecost, Simon Peter preached to a crowd of inquirers, saying, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Peter and John spoke to a crowd in the temple in Jerusalem, saying, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Peter afterwards rebuked Simon the sorcerer and commended, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." The Apostle Paul summarized the message he preached during his ministry in Ephesus, saying, "Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Evidently, repentance was the message proclaimed by the apostles of the Lord Jesus. Repentance is the universal imperative that God has laid upon the hearts of men. Paul concluded his sermon on Mars Hill in Athens, saying, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Repentance is the only alternative to destruction. Jesus warned, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." The Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Peter to write in his second epistle, "The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Now, the adversative "but" indicates that repenting is the alternative to perishing. God does not will that any should perish, but that all should repent. In view of those facts, we must arrive at a very obvious conclusion. Repentance is the very heart of man's response to the Christian gospel. Remember that repentance means to turn from sin to God. The alternative to repentance is a life continuing in sin, unheeding God's offer of mercy. And such a course is certain to terminate in the just and severe judgment of the sovereign God. It is for these reasons that we must preach the doctrine of repentance. Someone may wonder, if I repent in turning from my sins to God, what will His attitude be toward me? What reception does the repenting sinner experience when he turns to God? The Bible answers that he is received with forgiveness, in grace, and to his great joy. Like the prodigal son returned home to the love and embrace of his father, so the sinner turns to God to find God's grace overflowing toward him in forgiveness and peace. Jesus said, "Joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Repent. Turn from sin to God today. He promises, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out."